It seems like God has had this little theme going the last few weeks about his greatness, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I have some more on that today. Turn with me to Psalms 31. In this psalm, especially starting at verse 9, the psalmist is David, I believe. Yes, a psalm of David. He's very much afflicted. He had started out the psalm in thanksgiving and lifting the Lord up, and then he begins to tell about his sorrows and afflictions. But then in verse 19, he says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." And he goes on and he tells what all he does. But that verse right there is what's just so awesome to me. It's like he divides the topic of God's goodness into two things. That goodness which is laid up for us, and then that goodness which is worked out for us and wrought for us, that's what the word wrought means, is to put something together and to make it work in our lives. But how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee? I'd like to consider this morning the concept of things that have been laid up and prepared ahead of time. Here's a direction I'd like to go. Look in Psalm 95. In verse 3 it says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." We know this is true as we think about God. I believe God was the creator of this world. I believe it with all my heart. There's not a doubt in my mind. There are doubts in people's minds today, and people, children nowadays, are just being taught that it's not so. Everywhere children are being taught. And think about how much they miss, children miss, by not having this assurance that a great King and great God created all of these things and holds them in his hand. This says to us, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. Now we read, first of all, the scripture that says, "How great is thy goodness which you have laid up." And now I want us to consider literally some of the things that God laid up in the earth when he created it, and then again when he recreated the whole structure of the earth when he sent the great flood. Think about what was formed and created and put deep in the earth that we use right now. Just about everything that you use in your life is something that God put deep in the earth and he laid up for you. And some of these things weren't really discovered and used at that time. Many of them were secret. They were hidden to the people of that day. I was looking at the history of fossil fuels, the history of coal and petroleum. When do records start of mankind using coal or petroleum? Who discovered it and where? And I didn't write all these things down, and you know how poor my memory is. So just going to try to say what I recall. But in the scriptures, we have record that when God called the children of Israel, his people, out of Egypt, he promised them Canaan. And look over here, excuse me, look over here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And he described the land that he gave to them. This land, they had never known it. Most of the people, they didn't know anything about it, but God knew about it. God knew exactly what was there. He knew what was hidden in that land. He knew the goodness that he had stored up for them. Verse 7 of Deuteronomy 8, he said, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass." And this word brass, it's referring to what they made out of, what they got out of the hills. That was copper. The hills there in near Lebanon, near the mountains there, and near the seacoast up there near Sidon, those places were full of iron. I was trying to find a scripture about one of the kings, and I didn't find it yet, but there was a scripture about one of the kings who he made all kinds of things from what he got out of these hills. I believe it was Asa. If you can help me find that, it may have been Uzziah. One of those kings, it just tells of what he did. One of them was Asa. I know chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles. But Uzziah also was a man that invented many things. And before that, David had collected many of these metals, gold, silver, iron, copper. And out of the copper, they melted it with zinc oxide and made brass. And that's what they used for many things. They used it for their shields and their spears and their swords. Iron, I guess, has been one of the most useful items, useful resources on earth. I mean, can you think of everything that you know of, even today, that uses iron? A lot of the things that we have. And then, as I said a while ago, I was looking into the history of fossil fuels and coal and petroleum, the discovery of those things. How much of it is over in that area where Bible times began? There's, 80% of the world's oil today comes from there. But he put it all over the world. He put it up in North America. It's in South America. It's in the islands. It's out. They found oil in the Caribbean. They've found it here in North America. Lots and lots of oil. When you think about this country being a major source of automobile industry, that was later. Way later, thousands of years later, here, God looking ahead, I really believe he laid up these things in the earth for man's usage at this time. Amazing to think about how that he had it there before the invention of the automobile. But about the right around the same time of the discovery of these fuels, man invented the automobile, which uses these fuels. it's just, to me, it's amazing to see what God did. And it's, to me, it's an example. It is a literal thing that is a wonder and an amazement to know that God put deep within the earth. It says the deep places of the earth are His. He put deep within the earth these stores of petroleum and gave man the wisdom to know how to extract it, to know how to combine it with other things, and to distill it. Amazing what they've done with the crude oil that God put in the earth. That's not just an accident. That's a God who stored up goodness for the children of men in a literal way. And there are other things. You think it mentioned here in Deuteronomy 8, it said fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills. You think about God putting into the ground aquifers, the places where water would come out of the ground. He put into the system, the ecosystem of the earth, where water is absorbed by the earth from the rain, goes down and is stored, and then comes back out in springs. Those, that blue, the big springs that we saw over there in Missouri, that's one of those places. And it's beautiful, and it's refreshing, and it's useful for man. God owns all of those places. The deep places of the earth are His. He has goodness stored up for mankind in those places. Think about coal. Coal, through the years, has been a source of heat to keep people warm. And then the fuels after that, too, the petroleum. But think about how that people all over the world were able to get this out of the ground, these stones that would burn. What I read of people, what they described, they would describe these things like the natural gas that they found in places. They would call it water that burns. They didn't know how else to describe it. But God put all of these things into the earth, that He owns it. He made it. He put it there. And in the flood, I thought about how that God took this earth and He just completely took through the water that He sprang up out of the ground and came down from the deluge from above. All of these trees, the organic matter that was there, what did He do with it? He buried it all. And that is what you have today coming up as the fossil fuels, as the things that are heating and giving us energy, all kinds of what do you have here? We have this carpet that we're on and the seats that we're sitting on, and so many things that are here in this building, so many things that we have as part of our everyday life comes from all of those things. And God put them there. And we just, people use them today, take advantage of them, never ever give a thought to the God of creation. They never give a thought to this God that is King of the whole earth. He owns it. It's in His hands. How great is Thy goodness, which You have laid up for the sons of men. Talked about that kind of laid up goodness. And it just does us good to meditate on these things and to realize that this God is a God that not only lays up and treasures up these things, but it says, which Thou hast wrought for those who trust in Thee. He takes of His goodness that He's laid up for you, and He works it in your life. And this is, to me, the most glorious, as we said last time, Thou hast made me glad through Thy works. You've made me triumph through the works of Your hands. These unsearchable ways, the unfathomable, you can't exhaust them. God has such an abundant supply. When you look at it in the earth, the supply is, I mean, men talk about shortage and all that, but our God owns these things. And it's an exhaustless supply because he's the one that put them there. It comes from him. And when you look at all of that and you realize there's a kind of riches and goodness that is about him that has to do with us in a deeper part of our lives and not just physical. But when you think about his plan, when you think about the gospel message of salvation, when you think about grace given unto us, and then you begin to really understand this is exhaustless. His mercy is infinite. It's without end. His love is abundant. You can't number it. And yet people say, because you can't number it, it must not be real. They said what was it that I mentioned last time? That some scientists had said, because you can't understand the end of the universe, that proves that there's no God. That's proof that there is a God. That's proof of his eternalness and his unendingness. It's right there in front of them. It's right there for them to see. Yes, there is something that does go on and on. It's proof of a God who goes on and on. His ways are unsearchable. Men cannot find him out. They've tried and they've tried and they've tried to prove him or to disprove him. You can't do that with God. If you could figure him out, then he wouldn't be God. He's God and he can't be searched out or exhausted. But he has things that he's done for us that he wants us to figure out. I believe he was pleased for man to dig in the earth and find that iron and to work with it and to melt it and to make it into things that were of worth to him. I believe that the gold, there's so many things. Think about this. The gold, the silver that God put in the earth, precious metals. And then you think about jewels that he put in the earth, beautiful things. All of that points to the great treasures of his salvation and his goodness that he works in our lives. It's exhaustless. It's immeasurable. It is exactly what we need for when we need it. That's what I think is so wonderful today. In Isaiah 64, look at this one. In verse 4, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him." There are things that God has prepared that you don't even know about, that are prepared for you, that he has laid up a goodness to use and work in your life. And so many times, just like people in the world who didn't know about petroleum, who didn't know about these things, who had never found out about it, but until later, then they found out about it. And it would have been easy for somebody to say, it's just not there. To describe it to someone, and they would say, they're not having ever seen it, not having seen what it could do. To describe and say, one of these days, people are going to walk upon soft carpets that are made out of this black stuff that comes out of the depths of the earth. You know, explain that to somebody. Explain an automobile back to somebody way back there. Explain what we have today. Explain computers that use chips that are made from things that are in the earth. Some of the elements that God put in the earth. And we're using them, and if you would have explained that to somebody way back then and said, here's what you're going to be able to do. You're going to be able to speak and share pictures. What's a picture? Well, it's this, how would you have explained these things to somebody back there? These were things that God laid up. God's unsearchable. He has so many things that you and I haven't discovered yet, and yet we would be tempted to say, it doesn't exist. Because I don't know about it, therefore it is not. You can't do that with God. God's got stuff hidden and treasured up and laid up for you. And sometimes we might say, to describe someone what God can do with your life and how He can help you and what strengths and gifts He can give you. And you might look at a child and say, that child someday is going to do this and this and this. And you might say, no. But God lays up things inside of you and inside of me, treasures that people can't see yet. But He wants you to give Him your life. And then one of these days, He's going to draw it out. He's going to bring it out. And it's like, I didn't know that was in that child. I didn't know this situation had this possibility. I didn't know this horrible flood could produce all of this matter, this organic matter that now fuels our cars. I mean, I didn't know that this situation, out of it could come something that is my salvation, something that is my joy. How could that produce that? That's the joy of God, is to put things and hide them away and to keep them as potential helps and blessings to His children who fear Him and trust in Him. That is the wonder of salvation, that God has prepared something long before, planned it, prepared it, and hid it. And then at the time that earth needs it or you need it, He brings it out and says, here's what I've had ready for you all this time. Here's what I planned for you. This is what I've been building all this time in your life. This is what I've been doing. Remember the illustration we had of the tapestry? Maybe you all didn't hear that one. But Cora Ten Boom came one day to a group of children, I believe it was, and she had been a person who survived the Holocaust. She, in fact, hid and aided the Jews in the time of that. And she went to prison for it. She went to Ravensbrück. She went to those really, really bad prisons over there and survived. God brought her out. And then after she came out, God used her to go around and teach people of His goodness, of His forgiveness, of His grace. And she was doing this one time with a group of children, and she held out before the children an awful mess on a piece of fabric of tangled threads and colors, and it didn't make any sense. And she held that out to people, and she talked to them about God's ways. And she read the poem called The Tapestry. And we read that here a few weeks ago. And then at the very end of her talk, she turned her piece of fabric over, and there was a beautiful embroidered tapestry of a golden crown. And what it meant to her was what God does with all of the things in our lives that don't make any sense. But God said, we know that all things work together for good. And today's message is that there are things that are hidden. There are things that God has laid up. There are potentials and possibilities that we can't see, that God brings together for us. What goodness He has laid up for the children of men, and what goodness has He wrought for those who trust in Him. He takes what He's laid up and He begins to work it in our lives. It's just, to me, it's amazing. And you can't see this a lot of times when you're young, but if you'll stay with God, If you'll keep faithful through the struggling years, if you'll be faithful and trust in Him and reverence Him and just know that He's going to do something, if you won't give up on God, if you'll be patient with God, I promise you, by God's word, that there is going to come a time where you will see the other side, where you will see the goodness that he had laid up for you. You're going to see it working for you. It's going to work for you. It's going to do things for you and in you. Don't give up on God. Don't be impatient with His workings. The other day, somebody was telling us about the training of Navy SEALs and what they do and how that they've got to have men who can endure such terrible situations and never break. And so they train them to break them. And only the ones who will not break come out of it and survive. And then they use those men in situations all over the earth that the common run of men of the earth could never go through and endure. But because they have trained these men so strenuously, because they've put them through this rigor, physically, emotionally, in every way, they've put them through and tried to break them. And some break. Many break. But those who will not break, they use them. And as I was listening to that, I just thought. And I thought of people that I know who have gone through extreme things lately. Young people that I know who have been, they have had sorrow and things that just dug into their lives and just one thing after another. And I've seen their tears and their struggles and their longings and their questionings and their lack of sleep and their, and I thought, Navy SEALs. God's got some people in training. And they're being deprived of maybe this, or they're not seeing the end of this, and they're questioning this, and this is frustrating to them, and this is hard, and this is coming against them, and it won't let up, and there's one thing after another. God's doing this because he needs somebody that can be a Navy SEAL for him. And so the things in your life that don't make sense, remember, God's got goodness laid up for you. What did he say? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of good, thoughts of peace, and not of evil. His plans are untraceable. Remember the illustration that we had of the unsearchable ways of God, that you don't know where he's getting it, and you don't know what he's going to do with it, and where it's going to go. But you can trust God. You can trust that he knows what he's doing and that he's going to come out with something that is just so much far better. Paul took the scripture that we just read in Isaiah 64. And in 1 Corinthians, he quoted it again. And this time, here's what he said. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. But as it is written, and we just read that one that where it was written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And then it goes on and it talks about now, life in the Holy Spirit. It says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Now, what did I read to you in Psalms? The deep places of the earth are his. I want to tell you something else. The deep places of the Spirit are his too. He searches the deep things of God. And what does he do with them? He reveals them to us. Now you think, well, I've been going along for a long time and I still don't understand and I don't know. God is going to reveal some things to you. You stay with God. You begin to be like somebody who's not ever had anything made of iron. But God said, I've given you a land, and in it there are stones that are made of iron. What's iron? You go find out. You go dig it out. You melt it down, and you're going to figure out what is in that for you. I think that's what God wants us to do. I think God wants us, instead of being so angry at him with things that, big old stones in our lives, and we're thinking, I'd like to dig a garden here, but I keep coming up with these big old rocks in my life. What are these for? And the Lord said, this is, you go and take this and you melt it down and you're going to find out what it's for. And so they melt it down, and so then they made shoes for their horses and picks and shovels and pots and pans and automobiles and big ships and all kinds of things. Oh, he says, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And he reveals them to us. He reveals what to do many times with the things in our lives that we don't know what to do with. Oh, how we need to just trust him. And to make him in our minds just as big as he is. To not reduce him down to us, but to know this is a great God. He's a king above all gods. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has Calvary. He has the Holy Spirit. He has blood that flows, that cleanses from sin. He has love that's awesome. He can make me to love someone that I don't like. He can make me to forgive whenever I've been wounded. He can bring treasures out of things that to me are trash in my life. He can do things with the hard places in my life. God can do this for us, and he will do it for us. Oh, how great is thy goodness. And that's this life. And when you think, and this is where I don't even know how to go here. But when I think about what has he laid up for us eternally? And we weep over those who he takes home. But when I think about that, and I can only just tiptoe around the edges of that one. But there is something that's deeper than I've ever touched about eternity and about what God has prepared for people that love him in eternity. Just think about that. Just think about how we hold on to this life. You know why? It's because we don't know. We can't see what's hidden, what he's laid up. We can't see it. We don't know it, and so we doubt it. And so we belittle it. And so it's nothing to us, and we hold on to this life because we don't see eternity. But it's there. I believe he has things laid up for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I believe that he was going to Calvary to prepare a place for us here. A place to live in him. A place of trust, of comfort, of refuge, of salvation and deliverance. He was going to Calvary when he said that. I'm going to prepare a place for you. What things are prepared in salvation for you that you've never touched? Special grace, special wisdom, special gifts of God. I've told you different times about the song in our book, number 504, I Surrender All. It was written by a person who their chosen career was art, and they went into that career, but God had different plans. When that person came to Christ, they surrendered their life, and God made them into a poet. And he wrote that song, I Surrender All. When he surrendered all, God revealed a gift of that song has blessed thousands throughout the years that it's been available to the Christian community. That song right there, God took a person who didn't know that treasure was in there, and he brought it out and used it for the good of many. That's a theme this morning of the message, is that God takes things that he's laid up and he brings them out for your profit and your blessing and your joy. But no, that's not the end of it. It's for the joy and blessing of others. I remember a person that was dear to me that was greatly afflicted, and I questioned God many times, what can be the good of this, and why are you still allowing this, and what is going on, and why can't we see healing here? And one time the Lord spoke to me and said, it's not just for his good, it's for the good of other people that I'm doing this. And I was like, okay, all right, I can understand now a little bit more. And I've seen it. I've seen it come out. that there has been good, that God didn't do any other way than through that rigorous training. My heart has been charmed and has been warmed and has been made to consider God more in awe since He's been giving me these messages. I want to have a regard of God that's more than what I've ever had. A fear, not just afraid of Him, but reverence to Him, where I know more of His bigness and His, I don't know how to even say it, but there's so many things that come to those who will have that regard for Him like that. They will know, they will see, they will understand. But the people who don't revere God, people who don't love Him and trust in Him, they'll go their whole life long and never see all of these things. God reveals these things to those who love Him. He will reveal these to them who regard Him and respect Him and want to please Him. I know sometimes it's a journey going from a fear of God that's maybe not as healthy, that's maybe you're afraid of Him so you don't trust Him and you don't know Him and you don't know His goodness, but to come from that, grow into a healthy respect for Him, where you still want to please Him, where you still know that He is great and terrible and awesome, but where you begin to know His tenderness and His grace, and that works in you a deeper awe and a deeper reverence, and then that works in you where you can really truly say, I love God. I love Him. I love Him with all my heart. And that's what we want to come to. It is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Amen.